Welcome to the November 27th dual platform service of the Unitarian Universalist Congregation in Blacksburg, Virginia. The service is led by Reverend Pam Phillips and worship associate Cynthia Bouty. From protesters in Iran to baristas unionizing, we see groups of people banding together to make changes in their lives. What can we learn from them? How can we be inspired by them?
Welcome to the Unitarian Universalist Congregation of the New River Valley, where we share a mission to inspire, create, and transform. I'm Cynthia Bouty, and I'm leading worship with our minister, Reverend Pam Phillips. We are currently in a green zone for Montgomery County, so masking is optional in the building. But because COVID is ongoing and flu season is upon us, we ask that you wear masks while singing. Please take a moment to put your phones or devices into airplane mode, otherwise known as worship mode. It's very helpful for us as we do have an online contingent that participates with us each week and they need that bandwidth. If you are with us for the first time, we are glad that you found us. And we look forward to sharing all of the ways you can make a place for yourself and belong to our community. If you would like for us to keep in touch with you, please find a visitor card in the chat, there will be a link, or a paper card in the back of the sanctuary from one of the greeters. If you have a joy or sorrow to be shared aloud, you'll find a link in the chat or cards available near the entrance to the sanctuary, and we will collect those during the offertory. There are also many opportunities to meet virtually or here at the UUC throughout the week. You can look at the calendar on our website for times, locations, Zoom links, and contact information if needed. Many thanks to all of our volunteers here this morning and throughout the week who make all of these activities for our community and beyond possible.
I'd like to lift up a few special announcements. One is that we are going to have a float in the Blacksburg Holiday Parade. It's out there now being built, and Lucas tells me that the rain is going to stop as soon as the service starts. I don't know. But he is going to be here until 5 o'clock today to do some work on decorating it. There'll be inside work and outside work. He and George Lally and Allie Dehoff and others have been hard at work already. But if you would like to add your artistry to the float, please stay after the service or come back and help out until 5 o'clock today. We also need people to be in the parade, so if you'd like to ride on the float or if you'd like to walk along handing out candy to the children with a nice little card with a QR code so people can find UUC, let me know or let Lucas know. The more the merrier. It should be a lot of fun. On Saturday, we're having two activities. One will be a holiday sing-along up at the upper fire pit. Jim Kern has agreed to lead us in song, and that will be at 5:30. And then at 7 o'clock, is that right? Here in the sanctuary, we're going to have our social justice movie, What Was Ours? So at 7:30, thank you. So come out on Saturday evening, too. And finally, if you feel like you have found your spiritual home here at UUC and you'd like to become a formal member, we're having a recognition next Sunday. So contact me and we'll talk about it and you can sign the book. And now it's time to greet one another. Hello, everyone on Zoom. We'd love to know where you are joining us from this morning. So if you would write in the chat where you are. And also, turn on your cameras because you are up on the screen. So go ahead and wave. People in the sanctuary can see your faces. And it looks like Susie and Gail are here from Galax, Casey from Highland Park in Blacksburg, Denise Insagi Radford on Primrose, Denise Insagi Primrose Drive in Blacksburg. The Pfeiffers are here from sunny Airport Road. How is it sunny there and rainy on Primrose? Lori's here from Cedarville, California, in the far northeast corner of the state. Hello, Lori. You get up early for church. Laura's here from McCoy. Angie and Andrew are headed north on 81 to Harrisonburg. Drive safely. Tommy's here from Binghamton, New York, and Doug Pfeiffer said he was kidding. It's not sunny. Barbara's here from Radford, Brianna from Fairlawn. We are so glad that you are here with us, not just in spirit, but electronically. So now you want to see who's in the sanctuary? Let's see. Here we go. There's Mary Louise and all the folks smiling, waving. Yay! They're really quiet. Isn't that funny? All right. Now they're saying hello. All right, and if y'all want to turn and wave to one another here in the sanctuary, that would be great too. Last week we had a 360 view. All right. Now that we know who is here, who is in this space, let's make it sacred space.
I'd like to invite Ever Conk to come up to light our chalice. Please join in reading the words on your screen. We light this chalice for the warmth of welcome, the light of hope, and the fire of service. Great job, Ever. Our opening words were written by Eric Walker Wickstrom. Here today, in this place, and with these people, may we listen so that we can hear. May we hear so that we can feel. May we feel so that we can know. And may we know so that we can change ourselves and this world.
So this Sunday, we don't have religious education classes, but we do have a place for people who maybe need something to do with their hands in the back. If you would like to build Lego bridges, there's a whole bunch of Legos back there. If you would like to play with some Play-Doh, we have Play-Doh back there. Yeah, Bob wants to go back there. He's getting excited. We also have some markers and some crayons. So I'm serious about this. If you like to have busy hands when you're listening to someone like me talk, please feel free to go back there. And as there's only one person who would count as young and we're all young at heart. I'm just gonna go ahead and do our time for all ages up here. And this is a book by Amanda Gorman. You might remember her from the inauguration. She wrote that beautiful poem. So this is a poem, it's called A Children's Anthem, Change Sings. And we'll look and we'll see if I actually got all the pages in here. I can hear change humming in its loudest, proudest song. I don't fear change coming, and so I sing along. I scream with the skies of red and blue streamers. I dream with the cries of tried and true dreamers. And there is a dreamer indeed. I'm a chant that rises and rings. There is hope where my change sings. Can you see what she's doing? Picking up trash with a guy with a tuba. Though some don't understand it, those windmills of mysteries, I sing with all the planet and its hills of histories. Beautiful, lush photographs or pictures. I hum with 100 hearts, each of us lifting a hand. I use my strength and my smarts, take a knee to make a stand. Does anybody recognize the illusion? Who are we thinking about here? Colin Kaepernick. But here, she's taking a knee to help someone who looks like they don't have any food. I'm bright as the light each day brings. There is love where my change sings. What form is that love taking? Oh, come on, you can do better than the kids. What's the form of love do you see there? Bringing food to someone who needs, and I'm guessing, I have a friend who was a Meals on Wheels director. It's not just the food people need, it's the people. I show others tolerance, though it might take some courage. I don't make a taller fence, but fight to build a better bridge. Oh, look, the guy with the dog is sawing the wood. I talk not only of distances from where and how we came. Did I miss a page? Can you go back one? Oh, I did. Never mind. I also walk our differences. You were on the right page. I was on the wrong page. So go one more. I also walk our differences to show we are the same. I'm a movement that roars and springs. There's a wave where my change sings. Change sings where? There, inside me, because I'm the change I want to see. As I grow, it grows like seeds. I am just what the world needs. I'm the voice where freedom rings. You're the love your bright heart brings. We are the wave starting to spring, for we are the change we sing. We're what the world is becoming, and we know it won't be long. We all hear change strumming. Won't you sing along? And so ends our story.
Please join in reading our congregational covenant. We covenant to create a place of respect and kindness and to build a spiritual community based on reason and courageous love. While we celebrate the words of our mission statement and of this covenant, we affirm that our mission lives through our actions. It's a practice of our congregation to share half of the offering with a local charity or UU-affiliated organization. This week's recipient is the Unitarian Universalist Service Committee. The UUSC focuses their work on intersecting roots of injustice to defend rights at risk due to criminalization and systemic oppression of people based on their identity. They support self-determination and defend the rights of people displaced due to climate, conflict, or economic hardships, and they respond to humanitarian crises as partners with these people whose access to aid is most limited. While we pass the basket for those in the sanctuary, those in attending online are invited to give using the link in the chat or through the many ways listed on your screen. You'll be able to give after the service as well. Thank you for your generosity. If you have a joy or sorrows card, please hold it up now so that the greeters can collect it. And as we collect our offering, we'll enjoy Mary Louise playing the Dance of the Sugar Plum Fairy from the Nutcracker, during which you are invited to light candles of hope and remembrance. For those online, you may write in the chat if you'd like a candle lit, and those will be read aloud after the offertory. Please join me as we accept these offerings. We accept these offerings in support of our congregation and our larger community, recognizing always that in giving and receiving, we participate in a circle of care with no beginning and no end.
In that spirit, I invite you into the spirit of meditation and prayer. Let's take a moment away from the busyness of our lives. Take a breath. Soften your shoulders. Settle in your seat for a time of reflection. The playwright Tony Kushner writes, "At every moment in every person's life, there is work to be done. Always work to be done. Some of it small, some of it great. The great work, in a sense, always has to do with healing the world, changing the world, and as a necessary predicate to that, understanding the world." In these moments of quiet reflection, I invite you to consider what great work you feel called to do. How does your world need healing? How does our world need healing? Call to mind now people and places in our world, near and far, where there is suffering. Suffering due to inequality and oppression. Suffering from lack of food, shelter, and security. Suffering from violence. Suffering from environmental degradation. Call to mind the faces and the spaces in our world that need healing. What most calls to you? Hold them in your heart and in your mind. That they may not need to be alone. And in whatever you feel called most to do to heal the world, know that you are not alone. We are here together. So let's continue this meditation with song. Our meditation hymn is "We Would Be One." Let's remain seated while we sing. Amen. And blessed be.
This morning's reading is by Clarissa Pinkola Estes. Ours is not the task of fixing the entire world all at once, but of stretching out to mend the part of the world that is within our reach. Any small, calm thing that one soul can do to help another soul, to assist some portion of this poor, suffering world will help immensely. It is not given to us to know which acts or by whom will cause the critical mass to tip toward an enduring good. What is needed for dramatic change is an accumulation of acts, adding, adding to, adding more, continuing. We know that it does not take everyone on earth to bring justice and peace, but only a small, determined group who will not give up during the first, second, or hundredth gale. When a great ship is in harbor and moored, it is safe, there can be no doubt. But that's not what great ships are built for.
What is going on? Have you noticed a change in the world lately? A change in the way people are making change? Coming together to make change. As the worship team talked about this month's theme of change, Cynthia lifted up that something seems to be happening. That more groups of people are banding together to make change. Think about the people working in Amazon warehouses and Starbucks coffee shops who are organizing for better working conditions and compensation. Starbucks. I don't remember a time like this when people are saying enough is enough. We deserve better. I also think of the people in Iran who, after the death of one young woman, took to the streets. I do remember a time when people in Iran were protesting. I was in college at the time, and it brought in the repressive regime that they suffer under now. And this past week, any of you watching the World Cup? The players were protesting. The Iranian team protested by not singing the anthem. And don't think that doesn't come at a great risk. And the German team, did you see the photograph of them covering their mouths? As a sign that they are being gagged by FIFA, threatened with ejection if they wear the One Love armbands, which promote tolerance and diversity and LGBTQ+ rights in a country where it is illegal to be LGBTQ. And these are only the most recent. The children's stories reference to taking a knee, Colin Kaepernick, protesting racial injustice. In the past few years, it seems like more people are recognizing the need for coming together to make change, to address the wrongs in the world that need to be made right. I think about the groundswell of support for the Black Lives Matter movement and efforts to reform the police and prison systems. People who were never involved before finally said, enough. I think about the recognition that the immigration system is broken and needs fixing. We think about the Me Too movement that addressed sexual abuse and harassment and rape culture, and on and on and on. It's not that the world has become a more broken place, I don't think, but that people are willing to name that brokenness and have been more deliberate in coming together to start mending it. What do you think? Am I right? Is it more broken? Or are we just willing to see and say something about it? Ours is not the task of fixing the entire world all at once, but of stretching out to mend the part of the world that is within our reach. So says our reading. What say you? Dr. Estes' words are no doubt meant to make us feel better. Limiting our task to just the part of the world within our reach instead of the entire world. Whew. What a relief, right? But I wonder how many of us feel an obligation to fix any part of the world. And if we do, how important is fulfilling that obligation to us as Unitarian Universalists and as members of this UU congregation? Among our seven principles are those that say we covenant, we promise to affirm and promote the inherent worth and dignity of every person. To affirm and promote justice, equity, and compassion in human relations. To affirm and promote the goal of world community with peace, liberty, and justice for all. To affirm and promote respect for the interdependent web of all existence of which we are a part. That means if someone's worth and dignity are denied, we should act. If justice and equity are denied, we should act. If peace, liberty, and justice are denied, we should act. And if the interdependent web of all existence is not respected, we should act. Now, these principles are part of the bylaws of the Unitarian Universalist Association of Congregations, the part, Article 2, which has been the subject of review and revision to make sure that it reflects who we are and aspire to be as a denomination. And if you read this month's newsletter, you will have seen that the commission has, which has been seeking input from Unitarian Universalists for the past 2 years, have offered up a revision that focuses more on values and covenants than principles and purposes. Anybody want to admit to having read the draft revision? Oh, my heart is singing more than me. It's really very different. It's very different. From their research and feedback groups, the commission found that Unitarian Universalists value seven values: love, generosity, evolution, a word I don't like, pluralism, justice, equity, and interdependence. Do any of those resonate with you? And what they've done is they said, this is what we value, so this is what we covenant to do. I won't go through all of them, but the last three speak especially to how we act in the world. They say we value justice. We work to be diverse, multicultural, beloved communities where all people thrive. And because we value justice, they say, we covenant to dismantle racism and all forms of oppression within individuals and our institutions, and we are accountable to each other for this work. We value equity. We declare that every person has the right to flourish with dignity and worthiness. And because we value equity, we covenant to use our time, wisdom, attention, and money to build and sustain a fully inclusive and accessible community of communities. We value interdependence. We honor the sacred interdependent web of all existence. With humility, we understand our place in the web. And because we value interdependence, we covenant to care for and respect the earth and all beings by fostering relationships of mutuality. We work to repair the bonds we have broken. I like that part especially, repairing bonds that we've broken. I think of all the people who are suffering now because of the climate crisis. We have broken our bonds. Now, I've been in conversation with other ministers and UUs across the country about the suggested changes. We spent a good bit of time talking about it at our ministers' retreat. And I hope that we have an opportunity to discuss them, especially if the UUA Board of Trustees chooses in January to propose the draft revisions for our consideration at this year's General Assembly in June. The feedback I've been hearing has ranged from excitement to despair. The excitement that we are redefining who we are and how we want to be in ways that will encourage us to live out our faith more fully with each other and in the world. But the despair comes from the thought that our beloved principles and sources that you'll find in the front of the gray hymnal might be lost. I thought about preaching on nothing but the Article 2 change, but I'm here to tell you that the UUA board may decide not to tell us that we're going to vote on it. They may send it back to the commission. The feedback sessions that I've been to, like I said, there have been a lot of critical voices. Mine was one of the excited ones. And yet, when I was talking with one of my colleagues, she pointed out some things that I thought, oh yeah, no, I don't like that part. Can you imagine UUs wanting to wordsmith? Whether we accept this revision or not, it seems clear that part of being a Unitarian Universalist is accepting responsibility for acting in the world to make it better. As one of my mentor ministers, the Reverend David, He was a Universalist before the Unitarian Universalists came together. He said, Pam, every sermon you preach, you should encourage people to build heaven on earth. I hear his voice in my head. That's what Universalists believe. And what do we as members of this UU congregation believe about social justice? I know some of us believe that to be a UU, you have to be out in the world serving in some way. And in addition to promoting and affirming the UU principles, our mission says we aim to transform our community and the world through courageous love. And our vision says we will join with other organizations and faiths to work for just causes. It is important to us that we work to mend the world. In fact, that's one of the reasons many people find their way to UU congregations. As a non-creedal faith, our actions are more important than our beliefs. Ask anyone in the room what they believe, and it might, well, will probably be different from what you believe. And part of our coming together in religious community is so that we can do together what we couldn't do by ourselves. We know that it does not take everyone on earth to bring justice and peace, writes Estes, but only a small, determined group who will not give up during the first, second, or 100th gale. So, what is it that this small, determined group of people feel called to do, to bring justice and peace to this earth? What do you feel called to do? As Jane Goodall says in our centering quote, what you do makes a difference. And you have to decide what kind of difference you want to make. What kind of difference do we want to make together? This is not a rhetorical question. The newly formed social justice team wants to know. This new team, including Sarah Dalton, Lucas Mackey, Molly Larson and Mark Benson wants to, and this is from their new group application form, facilitate coordination of the various social justice groups and activities within our congregation and with other social justice groups activities in the wider community and with other at the state and or national level. The team will also serve as a spark incubator for the formation of new social justice groups within our congregation based on interest expressed by congregants. You have no idea how thrilled I am that a group of people came to me and said, we want to know what people in this congregation want to do for social justice. And so then I said, oh, do you want to be a social justice team? This is my dream, that in the same way that we have a community service team that coordinates all of the actions we do in the community, that we have a social justice team. But their application, to me, is a fancy way of saying they want to help us in our efforts to mend the part of the world that is within our reach, in collaboration with each other and with others who share our call. Because a small, determined group might be a good way to start change, but we are more effective and make a greater difference when we work with others, especially when we work with those who are most impacted by the injustice in question. So at the end of the service, we'll put a slide up with a QR code, and I'll invite you to turn your phones back on so that you can take the social justice survey. Or if you prefer, we have some paper surveys in eLearth, and Sarah will share those with you. Folks at home, we'll put the link in the chat so that you can fill out the survey. And we'll also put it in this afternoon's email announcements. And once we have a sense of what issues are calling us, then we'll put folks together and see what kind of change we can make in the world. And as we embark on this new initiative to determine where and how we want to work for change, I'm mindful that some people may not see church as the right place to work for social justice. I think of the member of a conservative Christian church here in town who is on the NAACP Religious Affairs Committee with me. And she has explained more than once that any mention of racial justice from the pulpit gets pushed back. It's considered too political. Or the response of some members of the congregation in Charlottesville when a Black Lives Matter sign was put up in the sanctuary. They said, we come to church as a sanctuary to the ills out there. We don't want to be reminded of them in here. Which makes me think of the description of a pastor's job, to comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable. Yes, we come here to find solace for the pain we feel in our lives. We do. To create and feel comforted by this compassionate community. We come here to grow spiritually and ethically. We come here to search for truth and meaning, and to become our better, if not our best, selves. But we do this not just for ourselves, but for each other and for the wider world. Like the narrator of our Time for All Ages, we can say, change sings where? There, inside me, because I'm the change I want to see. Echoing the phrase attributed to Gandhi, be the change you want to see in the world. Unitarian Universalist minister Reverend Tet Gallardo speaks to this dynamic in our responsive reading. She speaks from experience, having come to the ministry after years of organizing women, youth, farmers, and labor interests for political pressure that resulted in better legislation. She's now the president and executive minister of the UU Church of the Philippines. And she said in an interview, "We do not evangelize about our theology. We work loud and proud on social justice issues and in correcting oppressions we see around us. That is our faith in action." And here's the part that I like the most. "And we don't do it for show, but because we like to work on our own personal integrity." Our faith in action. So I invite you to join me in reading responsively. Your line is, "When I change, the world changes." We are here to derive meaning in our actions. When I change, the world changes. We are here to win our power back over our areas of powerlessness. When I change, the world changes. We are here to deepen our understanding of ourselves in order to strengthen self-discipline. When I change, the world changes. We are here to abolish prejudice with an appreciation for our diversity and differences. When I change, the world changes. We are here to feel our personal power and our capacity to affect the lives of other people. When I change, the world changes. We are here to become teachers to each other. When I change, the world changes. We are here to spend time away from the usual influences and relearn reality. When I change, the world changes. When God gives me the desire, I am also given the power and means to achieve my goals. When I change, the world changes. I am here to see that my singular life is a gateway to countless possibilities. When I change, the world changes. May we, together, become agents of change. Amen. From the dreams of youthful vision comes a new prophetic voice which demands a deeper justice built by our courageous choice. Let us hear that prophetic voice calling, and let us answer it with courage. We extinguish this chalice, but not the warmth of this community, the light of truth, and certainly not the fire of commitment. These we carry in our hearts until we are together again.